This is the Auntie M Brain Tumors Talk Show. It's a show full of informative chat and inspirational messages. The Auntie M Brain Tumors Talk Show on podcast.
Hi, Claire.
Hello. How are you?
I'm very well.
Thank you so much for coming on. Take us back to when you were first diagnosed.
Yes, I was diagnosed in June 2022. And it was actually an incidental finding, as I had gone into the hospital because I had really bad chronic pain for a very long time. And the pain was beginning to travel down my leg. So when I went for my diagnosis, I was not expecting them to say that I had a brain tumor. I had a clival meningioma. And it's quite an unusual meningioma, and it sits right in the sort of like center of the skull where it affects all the structures nearby it. So the brainstem, the cranial nerves, and all the sort of important blood vessels. And this is why there were a variety of things that were going wrong with my body, and I couldn't understand why, from this chronic back pain for about a year. And what sort of started the journey of discovery of the brain tumor was apparently like trauma can increase the rate of the growth rate of the tumor. So my tumor had been growing for about 15 odd years and it just wasn't detected. But sadly, I lost my mum in late 2021, and that trauma made the tumor grow at a much faster rate. And because it was then growing at a faster rate, it was squashing all the sort of critical structures that controlled parts of my body. It started affecting my leg, and it was so embarrassing because it got to a stage where I was literally dragging my left leg. And I'm from like a visual background filled with fashion, and I was very self-conscious of it. And also, I'd always considered myself as a fit person. I love the outdoors. I love exercising. To not be moving smoothly just sent alarm bells ringing in my head. To be honest, I think I did have a hunch that there was something wrong. I don't know why, but I just had a hunch. And I went to various different chiropractors, osteopaths. I tried various lotions and potions, but nothing was getting rid of my back pain, and it wasn't solving my leg issue. So I just thought, I'm going to go private. Went private. The doctor there, the consultant, he said, what we'll do is a full spinal, but we'll also do the head scan as well.
Oh, thank goodness
and,
they did that.
I am so lucky because that they did find it. The surgeon basically said, if I didn't have the operation, first of all, my surgeon moved my operation sooner than they had originally planned, because it was planned for November 22. So if I had my operation in November 22, as was the original plan, I would have actually lost all functions of my legs even after the operation, because the legs would have remained paralyzed, because even after the operations, they can't actually revive nerves that are dead.
You had a 16-hour operation. That's a really long time. I had 10 hours and I thought that was long, but 16 to be on the table and to have your skull open, a huge amount of time.
Yeah, it was a long operation. I was lucky to have the people around me. The surgeon was great. When I woke up at first, I was just so confused. I thought, am I in hell or in heaven? I could hear sounds, but my brain was, I don't know, I can't describe it. It was all sort of mushy and I couldn't move. I'd lost function of my legs and for quite a while, actually. And I couldn't swallow. I had these pipes coming in me. But the good news is I survived the operation.
Mm. And they feel confident. Yeah. They got it all out.
I've still got some left. Mm. And that's like another issue that I think people in my situation that it's not all completely cleared. I was getting MRI scans done every 3 months, but now I'm going to just go annually. They feel quite happy that it's not growing, that they need to keep doing the MRI. So I feel confident about that.
What would you say are the things that you may struggle with or that have caused a problem from the operation?
I've come a long way. I've learned to walk and eat and balance myself because I had no balance. The things that still need to be fixed, I wear an eye patch because I have double and triple vision. I have to wait for the nerves to grow back, and there's no guarantee that they will grow back. To begin with, the eye was completely shut, and then gradually the eyelid opened, but it doesn't open fully. And also the eyeball itself didn't move. It used to just stay still, and now the eyeball moves from side to side, but it doesn't move up and down. Mm. So the range of movement. And when I look down, the good eyelid will come down, whereas the one that's affected stays. But for me, it's a visual impairment because I see double. Mm. And then the other thing with the other eye is that I don't have any depth perception. So when I'm walking downstairs, to me, I don't see stairs. I just see flat. So I have to be really careful. And particularly in places where they don't mark that there are steps, like you get the yellow line or different lines at the end of the stairs. So if that's not there, if I'm on my own, I just have to be careful.
I have to hold on to the side now. I can't see the stairs properly. I'm just really slow and I'm thinking, don't fall. Yes. Especially when I'm in London, because I live in London. And if you're on something like the Underground or something, those stairs are so steep. And I'm like,
And also I have noises in my head as well. Lots of people, the few people that I've spoken to, they also say that they have either a vibration or a whooshing noise. So I have that when I'm in crowded spaces, and I've only been in crowded spaces a few times. For some reason, I just can't hear then. It just becomes one big sound. I've just got to learn to manage that. And then on a day-to-day basis, for instance, just bending my head down and then up makes me feel very dizzy. So my footwear, for instance, anything with laces, I tie on the sides.
Really good idea.
You may be able to relate to this. So with brain tumor, and I've got the patch, so I think people look at me and think, oh yeah, there's something wrong with her. But physically, people do look at you and I think they think you're normal and that you can understand everything that they're saying. And for me, I still have issues with balance, seeing things properly and also hearing things. And when I'm in a busy environment, I think because my brain is trying to make sense of all the new sensory and process it, I just can't seem to deal with it, actually. But I'm hoping that will all definitely come back. So the way I explain how I am to people is that I say to them, you are a motorway and I'm a back road. Mm. So for them to reach places, they can take the motorway instantly and then get it and they know. Whereas for me, I have to, it's like taking the long scenic route to get to where I need to go. It takes longer. And sometimes I come across incidences along the road, for instance, but eventually I do get there. Mm. But sometimes it's frustrating because I used to be very independent and the job that I did, etc. I'm not quite there yet, but I'm confident that I will be one day.
Have you gone back to work?
Actually, on Monday was my first day back.
Yeah.
My surgeon hasn't officially said for me to go, and they think it's still a little bit early, but I wanted to start. I persuaded my employer, who have been absolutely fantastic. And I just feel that if I don't go now, I'll be waiting forever. they've planned a very slow phase return for me. So this week I'm just doing mornings, and each week I increase by a morning. And next year in January, I'll be doing full days and full teaching, for instance. But yeah.
I think it's amazing how companies do that with the slow getting back to work. I had the same thing, and I went in once a week, and then eventually I got to similar to what I used to be. But it makes such a difference that they did that, because I understand that there'll be jobs that will not do that. So if you do have that in a company, oh my gosh, it's just a blessing.
Oh, yes. And they have been amazing because I had only been with Chichester University actually for a year, because I'd switched jobs from another university. And then I found out about the tumor and I was absolutely gutted. But they have been brilliant in the way they've handled my situation. And they're taking my lead on this in terms of returning. So it's fantastic.
How do you deal with your energy levels? Fashion is a really busy industry. Has that affected you with that kind of a role? You've retained all the information. You didn't have any memory loss.
I lecture fashion management with marketing.
Oh.
I'm involved with a lot of fashion companies. I have to stay on top with what they're doing, etc. So that's my sort of involvement. So you have to be on top of all the latest strategies and all the new things that are coming, because business strategies are changing all the time. I'm relearning absolutely everything. I was upset actually when I went back to work on Monday. I was only there for a couple of hours, but I didn't recognize the buildings or my room, and I wasn't expecting that. And so I did mention it to my boss. I don't recognize. And then I thought, I better start saying, yeah, everything's fine. I do recognize some places, because I didn't want them to worry about me. Because what tends to happen is when I go to places that were familiar to me and I don't recognize them and I revisit them, I find after a little while, the memory does come back. So for me, returning to work is going to be, I know it's going to be challenging, because I'm having to relearn all my material as well.
But it sounds like you're a really determined person. I want to mention to people the eye patches that you have. It's really nice. It's nice that you've been able to use your talent.
I'd started wearing the eye patches, and actually I've received quite a few compliments. I was really self-conscious of my eye, particularly when it was completely shut. I think I am so grateful to be alive. And the fact that, yes, one eye is not working, but at least I'm not totally blind.
Tell us about the fundraising you're doing it for brain tumor research.
Yeah, I did a couple of charity walks for them. When I came home after the operation, there was some miscommunications between the hospital and my GP. I didn't get any support at all. We didn't know what to expect. Nobody called us to say, how are you doing, or whatever. We didn't get anything at all. A lot of the sort of therapies we've had to research, and we've paid for them privately, which is really annoying. So with the brain tumor research, it was the only charity that I could get hold of. I spoke to them and they signposted me to
Brain Trust.
Yes. And it was amazing. So the minute I got in touch with them, I was really grateful. So that's why I thought, I want to do something to help them.
What are you doing to get yourself ready for the 106K?
I go for regular walks. I started off, I think, literally walking for about 15 minutes. And now I can walk for a good couple of hours, between 2 to 3 hours. The maximum I've reached walking so far is 14 miles. So I've got to go, because 106 kilometers is the equivalent of doing 2 marathons. I'll just keep increasing each week the distance, but also my stamina as well. So this involves weights and just getting my back strong, for instance, and eating well as well. Again, I think people who have gone through major traumas like this, they start looking after their bodies a bit more. So I am eating a lot healthier and I'm aware of what goes in my body. And
how can people go and donate? You've got a Just Giving page.
Yeah, it's on a Just page.
Do you know what? We'll make sure this link is in the bio.
Have you tried oxygen therapy at all? See if it
No, I know about it. I spoke to someone the other day, actually, that was on the show, and he had something to do with that, where he'd be in a tank almost and would be there with oxygen and be there for, and I think he'd say like an hour, and then it's great.
I think it has actually accelerated some of my nerve growth. Mm. However, I'm claustrophobic, so I absolutely hate it. So for me, I literally go in there, I breathe, and then I just wait for the hour to be over and done with. I can go in and I just zone out. I'm quite sure that sort of helped with my nerve growth. And even the surgeon says to me that I'm quite ahead of where he thought I would be. The problem is the oxygen therapy isn't available on the NHS.
No, I saw you have to go privately to get this done. Like you seem to be able to put a situation and then saying this is how I'm going to fix this.
Thank you. I think I am so grateful to be alive. And I found out about 3-6 counselling sessions on Bupa through Macmillan. And although it's for cancers, it's for brain tumor patients, and which I didn't know about. And fortunately for me, I was signposted to a guy called Stephen West, and he had also had a brain tumor. He was recovered. But I would never have thought about having counseling. And I don't know why. It's just something that I thought I was fine. What I'm going through is normal. But even though people would say to me, oh, you look great and you're doing so well, I just didn't feel great. I didn't know what I would be able to do. But on the face of it, I would try to be as normal as possible because I didn't want my husband, my boys, family and friends worried for me. So you put on a brave face, don't you, to keep happy. But this guy, Stephen Westby, the minute I started talking to him, so he gave me 6 free sessions, but then he also made himself available in case I needed him. And I did call him a few times. But he literally, what I realized was actually on the outside, your physical things like walking, it comes back to you. But on the inside, he said, you're broken. And he helped me to understand what had happened. And that it was okay for me to feel vulnerable and for people to see that. And it was okay to ask people for help for various different things as well. And over the course of 6 weeks, he really helped me with the counseling. And so I think that counseling is very important and it should be advertised and made known to people even before they have surgery, and not just to the patient, but the patient's family as well, because they also go through a tough time, don't they?
Yeah, I think I didn't look at counseling at first. I think I was embarrassed because I was so used to trying to look good. I was at the age of, I could do anything. And my job is great. Yes, then I was like, oh my gosh, I can't do everything and I really need help. And eventually did find counseling and it did help. Yeah. And you've suddenly realized you've got all these emotions that you weren't really expressing it. And then you're like, wow, actually I am a bit broken and oh my gosh, I need help. It's good to ask for help.
This is why I absolutely love what you're doing. It's so good getting people to talk, because again, I didn't actually want to talk about me. And then additionally, after a little while, you feel that, is my narrative now getting a bit boring for people?
Yeah.
But actually, it's not.
It might be boring to us, and it might be almost a little boring for our immediate family because they've just been hearing it, seeing it, or trying to ignore it, whatever. I always say to everyone, your story could really help somebody else because they're having the same feeling that you're having. And it's just nice to know you're not the only one.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And this is why I agreed to talk more about my experience. But I also want people to know that you will come out on the other side and you have to remain positive, and it's not all doom and gloom. And also just to take tiny little steps, and those tiny little steps, as long as you're moving in a forward direction, those tiny steps will mount to, hopefully, me doing this ultra challenge, for instance.
Well, as you're saying this, it makes me think of like the mountains that you're going to go up and down. That's how the emotions, and that's how this journey is going to go. It's going to go up, it's going to go down. You're going to have a high and you're going to have a low, but it says just keep going. Just don't stop. Keep doing the mountains, because look what you're going to get at the end is the achievement of doing it.
I'd like to mention Sue from the Beyond Recovery Project. So for me, meeting her for the first time was just absolutely, I felt as if I'd turned another milestone just by meeting her, because when she was talking and she would talk about her symptoms, and I could instantly relate. When I talked about noises in my head, she knew I didn't have to explain things to her, because she had a brain tumor operation, and so she understood about being fatigued all the time and having nausea sometimes, and your balance and your perception, etc. I'd like to just mention again the Beyond Recovery Project. And basically, she's raising funds for brain tumor survivors. And what they do is they organize challenges and experiences that build brain tumor survivors' confidence and gives them a sense of achievement. I think they're another really great organization.
Thank you so much for coming on to talk about your story.
Thank you. You take care.
Bye. This is the Auntie M Brain Tumors Talk Show. It's a show full of informative chat and inspirational messages. The Auntie M Brain Tumors Talk Show on podcast.